It's wonderful to be here. There's many of you who we know already, and there's some new faces, which is lovely to see as well. My name's Neil Dunbar. There's my family up on the screen there, you can see. I have my family here in the pews with us today. My lovely wife, Rebecca. We've been serving over in Cambodia for 7 and a bit years now through New Zealand Church Missionary Society. And it's a real privilege to be able to come and share this morning a little bit about what we've been doing. I also like to share a little bit about Cambodia itself. I think it's very important to understand about the country and what the country has been through, because then you get a better sense of why we are there and what the need is in the country. For those of you who know much about history, you'll know that Cambodia 50 years ago had incredibly rough time, as an understatement. At the time in the world, the Vietnam War was going on, and Vietnamese troops used Cambodia for a lot of reasons. Sometimes it was to hide in Cambodia, away from American troops. Sometimes it was to use Cambodia as a launching pad for attacks. America didn't appreciate this too much, and so started a large bombing campaign in Cambodia. They say that more bombs were dropped by the Americans in Cambodia than were dropped in World War II combined. So an incredible amount of bombing happened in Cambodia. This led to a rise in anti-American sentiment at the time, and partly due also to the leader at the time of Cambodia was seen to be American-influenced. Because of this, Cambodia had a great desire to kick everything out of Cambodia that was corrupting it. And it led to the rise of the Communist Party of Kampuchea, which was otherwise known as the Khmer Rouge, and was led by a man named Pol Pot. If you don't know, Pol Pot is usually uttered in same sentences as Hitler, as Stalin, and Pol Pot. The aim at the time through this regime was to reset the country, was to get rid of every corrupting influence that was ruining the pure state of Cambodia. And so they did this to start with by kicking everyone out of the cities. The cities were seen as corrupt, as influenced by foreign countries, and so everyone was ordered to leave the cities. This was 1975. They were also ordered to go and work in the farms. People did not know how to work in the farms. They were just told to go and work in the farms. And as you can imagine, it didn't go too well. Millions of people in the country died. They died through starvation. They died through malnutrition. They died through diseases. Also at the time, anyone who was seen as a threat to this new ideology was killed. And this was anyone in religion, anyone in leadership, anyone in government, anyone in power at all. All you needed to do was to wear glasses, and you were seen as an intellectual threat to the ideology at the time, and so you were killed. Later on in the regime, it was anyone who was opposed, even within the Khmer Rouge themselves. Anyone who looked like they could be a threat was summarily killed. At the time, it was about a population of 6 or 7 million, and they think about 2 million people died at this time. You can imagine that, can't you? It's a third of the country almost. Similar population numbers to New Zealand, losing 2 million people in a span of about 5 years. We can't comprehend what that is like. The picture you can see on the screen, they have places like this throughout Cambodia to remind Cambodians what happened. If you can't read the words, it says it's a killing tree against which executioners beat children. It was a terrible time for the country. The average life expectancy at the time plummeted to 11. And as you can imagine, there's lasting impact because of this. The country was hit incredibly hard. It lost all its leadership. Anyone who was an intellectual, anyone who knew how to lead in any form, in any capacity, was killed. So the country had no leadership. The country effectively had no government for a long time. And the government that was then put in was mixed at best. More importantly, though, they lost their identity as a people. They were forced to answer hard questions about how could this happen to us as a country. Because the killing was not on religious grounds or cultural or anything like that. It was Cambodians killing Cambodians. And it's very hard for them to process what that means. And they had a nationwide case of pretty much everyone in the country was going through PTSD because of this. Everyone was suffering trauma because of what happened as a country. Everyone was affected. No one at any level afterwards was unaffected. Everyone lost family. So the last 30 years then throughout the country has been an attempt to restore the country through lots of different ways, good and bad. The attempt has been made to restore the country. Sadly, the main way to do this has been to throw money at the country, to just say, here, you need money to help yourself. You're a poor people. You need money. Now fix yourselves. That's pretty much been what's happened. As a result of this, a lot of people have gotten very wealthy, and a lot of people have remained poor. Money isn't always the answer to problems. Now, it's a country of contrasts. Cambodia today has the old, the traditional, mixed in with the new. There's a picture of a monk at a local supermarket. He's a Buddhist monk. Out in the countryside, very pristine, very picturesque. You have lots of rice fields everywhere, as well as lots of reminders about the long history of Cambodia. There are statues, there are pagodas, there are temples everywhere. But the city we live in, Phnom Penh, is a bustling city. It's a city, like I said, 2 to 3 million people. You'll also, in Phnom Penh, where we live, there's also a reminder that you're very close to rural areas. We have cows walking down the street sometime amidst traffic. One of my friends ran into a cow on his motorbike one time. You've also got other interesting sights which you might not normally see. It might be hard to see in this picture, but you have a man on a motorbike with a crocodile draped over the back seat. I'm assuming it's dead. The challenge now for Cambodia, though, is working out what it means to go from a country in poverty to a more prosperous nation. And the difficulty with this is that the government doesn't really want this to happen. The government has very much enjoyed having handouts from other countries, as well as the trade perks that are offered to a developing country. So the government often doesn't want to get out of poverty, which makes it very difficult to try and proceed with things. The systems are not in place so much, and so many people come from overseas to try and help build these systems up. Cambodia is one of the countries with a huge proportion of overseas workers coming to try and help out in any way possible. As the country gets wealthier too, the problems shift. So illnesses are very different nowadays. As people are starting to get wealthier and wealthier, the common issues are now heart problems and strokes and cancer rather than malaria or anything like that. People are often having more money now, which is fantastic, but not necessarily good. More money doesn't answer your problems. One thing, though, is that the people there are generally very happy with where the country is going. People are proud to be Cambodians now, which hasn't always been the case. And partly the reason for that is there is peace now. There's been peace in Cambodia for at least 30 years. And the peace is the number one driving force in most of the decisions that the government makes. Anything to maintain peace. For Christians in Cambodia now, life is very different than it was only 10 years ago. About 10 years ago, the church was persecuted. It was very difficult nationwide to be a Christian in the country. Now it's very easy to be a Christian in the country at a national level. You can do it openly. You can do it in public without fear of persecution, which is a wonderful thing for Cambodia to happen. And 3 years ago, 2023, they celebrated 100 years of the gospel coming to Cambodia. And they were allowed to have a huge gathering with thousands of people gathered in Phnom Penh just to celebrate this. They had big events for a few nights in the week, and the surprising thing was that the Prime Minister at the time came along and endorsed what the church is doing in Cambodia. There's a bit of cynicism around this, because basically with the church doing a lot of good in the country, it means the government doesn't have to spend money to do that similar good. But the government is recognising that the church is a good thing for Cambodia, which is wonderful. Tricky thing, though, at a personal level for Cambodians, it can be a great challenge to become a Christian. In Cambodia, the family and the family ties are paramount. Being a Buddhist country too, there is great great wealth put on the family unit. In Buddhist culture, you pray for your family, you pray for your ancestors who have died, and you pray for your generations to come. If you leave this by becoming a Christian, then your family sees that you are now no longer praying for your family, caring for your family in whatever way. You've turned your back on your family by becoming a Christian in Cambodia. So it can be very challenging for Christians who become, for people who become Christians. They can be ostracized. They can be cut off from the family. Very challenging. We had a passage read just before our gospel passage, which is probably not the usual kind of passage that you'd hear at a missions thing. It's Jesus speaking. And normally when we think of Jesus speaking, we think happy things, cheerful things, nice things, loving things. But here we hear very hard things. And I do just want to read it again because it is incredibly relevant for what the situation is like for Cambodian Christians. So Jesus says these hard words, "Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on in one house there will be five divided. Three against two, two against three. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." See, friends, we see this in Cambodia today, very starkly. They sound harsh words by Jesus, but so many Cambodian Christians know this division deeply. Friends, the message of the cross divides. Jesus says that clearly here. The message of the cross divides. And I don't know if you've experienced this as well, whether you've felt the sadness of friends or family who don't know Jesus as Lord and the challenges that that can bring. My brother and sister, they're not Christians. They're not anti, but they're very sad we're in Cambodia away from them. And they would dearly love us to be here with them. I've got friends who don't speak to at all to some of their family members because their family sees Christians as hateful. Doing ministry in Cambodia, this division among loved ones is very real. I know living here as a Christian in New Zealand is not the same as that at times, but it can be hard too. Following Christ and the call he puts in our lives can lead us to division with those closest to us. I want to continue just sharing about what we've been doing. Thanks for your patience. I'm sorry if I go too long. So we've been in Cambodia for 7 years. Our first time there in Cambodia, we've done two terms, what it's called with New Zealand CMS. You go for 3 years, come back, do some sharing, and then repeat that. In our first 3 years, COVID was the main impact on us. I'm sure you can remember it all with, I was going to say fond memories, but I'm sure that's not the word to use. For 2 years, pretty much, in Cambodia, we were under a tight lockdown with COVID things. The children couldn't go to school for about a lot of that time. We couldn't meet as a church. We couldn't talk to Cambodians. We couldn't go out much. We couldn't get to experience the country or to lay a foundation or lay roots there or start ministry really there. So it was an incredibly challenging time, although we never say it was wasted time. We're fairly tight as a family unit. We still talk to each other, which is nice. But it was just a time to settle and to get used to Cambodia. But that was our first time. Our kids did school in front of the computers at home. And it was kept under quite strict security by the Cambodian government. Now, thankfully, when we've been back over our last 3 years, we are free. We can go out and do things. The kids can go to school. This is our children's school. It's called Hope International School. It's a school that's been set up for missionary families, for expat families. And it's a wonderful school. All the teachers who come there are solid Christians. They're not there for career. They're not there for money. They're not there for the glory. They're there to serve our children. We love Hope School, and we're very thankful our kids are there. We've also been involved with a church plant near us. One of the things we went back to last time was establishing a church plant. We've been on the leadership team for this. I've been doing preaching there. I'm involved with the music ministry there. And the intention to start with was to have it for an English speaking, mainly for expats from the community, but with the intention to have a Khmer congregation come off from this. We were going to have a dormitory where young students could come in from the provinces to live in a dormitory, and that was going to be one of my main roles, was to be working with this church plant and the dormitory. We started doing some church services in the dormitory, and so you had the young people there, and some people from the local area would come to the house where they were all living at on Sundays to worship. Sadly, though, both the church for the Cambodian-speaking and the dormitory have had to close in the last couple of years. And it's partly due to one of the main issues in the country with the church, and that is lack of leadership. Cambodia has a great need of leaders in the church. In the Anglican church in the country, there are 5 ministers in the whole country. 17 million people, 5 Anglican ministers. 3 of those ministers are foreigners. So in the whole country, 17 million people, only 2 ministers who are actually Cambodian in the whole country. We are starting now, while we're actually in New Zealand here, this is happening at the time while we are here, back in Cambodia, they're actually building a new church that we're going to be using. This is going to be attached to an early learning centre that my wife Rebecca is going to be involved with a bit. So when we go back, we'll have a new church building with new ministry opportunities associated with it and an early learning centre, which is exciting, a bit daunting though. So we appreciate your prayers for this. There's always nervousness around construction. They're probably going to build this whole building in 2 months. There's no code of building in Cambodia. So we're very much, our prayers are that it is a well-constructed building. I have friends who run an engineering firm who are from America, and they are in charge of this building operation with their Khmer workers. So we're praying that it's going to be a wonderful way for the gospel to spread in Cambodia. The other thing that I've been doing over the last bit of time has been working at the Phnom Penh Bible School. It's a theological training centre to train gospel workers to spread the gospel through Cambodia. We get people from the provinces come here to learn how to teach the gospel so they can go back to their churches and then teach more. So one of my main roles is going to be working with this Bible school. I'll be doing work with master's students, doing theological work, and then also I'll be teaching English and doing some community outreach as well. Some of my students, they are also wonderful. I get incredibly encouraged by the students who come along to the Phnom Penh Bible School. Remember, I was talking about division and suffering and persecution with the church? I get incredibly encouraged by their faith. It's like when you're reading Hebrews 11, has a litany of faith, people who are meant to inspire you and give you confidence in faith. These people do that for me. They have given up a lot. They've faced persecution and suffering. They often have been kicked out by their families. But they are here. They want to know more about Jesus and to how to teach it to fellow Cambodians. I think it's a wonderful opportunity. I'm going to finish. I thank you for your kind ears and hearing. There's a couple of passages I just want to finish on, though, just to keep in our minds. I talked about the division. People can ask the Cambodian students, why are you doing this? Why are you walking away from your family? Why are you leaving all that you know as a Cambodian? And it's a good question. I think we get some help in one of the passages we had today. And then there's another passage that I want to read. So from 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, it says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And there's another verse that I think's helpful for us to understand. It's Peter talking with Jesus. And Jesus has been teaching just some hard things. And it says, "After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, 'Well, do you want to go away as well?' And Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.'" Friends, this is true for the people in Cambodia who are Christians. They know that Jesus is the key to eternal life. They know that he is the Holy One of God. And I pray for us too here in New Zealand, where it's often much easier to be a Christian. I pray we know that too. I pray that we pray for our friends and our families who do not know Jesus. I pray that we desperately desire for them to come to know him as our Savior and Lord. Thank you very much for having me today. Please come and talk to me after the service. I very much appreciate this. Can I pray as we finish? Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he is the Holy One of God. I thank you that he is the key to eternal life. I thank you that it's through Jesus and the cross that we know your love to us ultimately, that we can see your grace and kindness. Father, I thank you for the word being spread throughout Cambodia, and I pray that this happens more and more. And I pray for the word of God to go out here in New Zealand too. I pray that many people through St. Paul's, through other churches, through whatever means, can come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior and trust in him with their lives. Amen.